Are you someone who finds yourself just going through the motions of your life? Or are you someone who's unafraid to live? Have you checked off the items on your bucket list? Have you done that one thing you keep telling yourself to do? Or are you like Clover and you're too comfortable with your life to really live it? In this book, Clover, a death doula, finds herself trapped in a cycle of collecting regrets and advice from others while neglecting her own desires. However, as the story unfolds, we witness Clover's transformative journey as she confronts her fears and finally starts living her life on her own terms, after 3 decades of hesitation. It's a tale of courage, self-discovery, and the power of embracing the present moment. In this episode, we will unpack the plot of the novel, looking at the exposition, rising action, and climax of the book. Then we will dive into the characters that make this novel. And lastly, we will discuss the themes. The Collective Regrets of Clover is a straightforward novel. The plot is not very intricate or confusing, but I loved the simplicity. To me, there is nothing better than a book that is simple, yet profound and complex. In the exposition, we meet Clover. She is helping her 98th person pass into the next life. Clover has been doing this for a number of years, yet it seems to be a calming presence in her life. We learn that Clover doesn't have many connections. She has a friend who is an elderly man she has known her whole life, but due to her awkward quietness and obsession with death, she never made any real friends. Losing her parents at a young age made Clover more introverted and obsessed with death. The main conflict of this novel comes when Clover meets Sebastian and he changes her life completely. Clover meets Sebastian at a death cafe and believes he is only interested in her because he is trying to sell her life insurance or prey on the people at the cafe. However, it turns out that he likes her and he wants to ask her out on a date. Sebastian tracks down Clover and asks her to be a death doula for his grandmother Claudia, who is getting to the end of her life. The main conflict then is man versus self. Will Clover overcome her fears of being peculiar and grief of her grandfather and start living her life? In the rising action, a number of things happen to Clover. She's able to meet her first real friend, Sylvie, and Sylvie helps her to come out of her shell. She has Clover go to her first yoga class, she listens to her stories, and takes an interest in her life, and she gives Clover advice, and is a great friend for someone who has been so lonely. Clover also meets Claudia, Sebastian's grandmother. Claudia was a photojournalist before she got married to Sebastian's grandmother. She is brave and outspoken, and her and Clover become fast friends as Claudia takes Clover under her wing. The two help each other in Claudia's last days. As the book continues, Clover finds herself breaking many of her self-held rules. For example, she goes on a date with Sebastian, which she feels is not very professional. The date doesn't go very well. She finds out that Sebastian is not honest like her grandfather taught her to be. He makes her lie to her grandmother and then doesn't say anything when he notices that the server forgot to put a drink on his bill. Neither of these things make him a bad person, but it's just one of those small signs that these two are not compatible. However, since Clover has never been in a relationship, she kisses him, and it wasn't very enjoyable. It wasn't like all the rom-coms she'd watched, where there are sparks and magic. As an outsider, we know that this relationship is not meant to be, but Clover doesn't see the signs we see. In fact, she keeps questioning and doubting herself. Clover also gets more involved in her client's life than normal. Claudia tells Clover about a long-lost love, and Clover and Sylvie go out of their way to find this man and try to talk to him. As the plot continues, we learn things about Clover's personal life and why she chose to be a death doula. It turns out that Clover feels deep regret for missing the death of her grandfather and is trying to make up for it by helping others pass. She also had an incident of unrequited love, and because she didn't really have anyone to talk to about it, she takes it deeply personal. The climax of this novel occurs when Clover's best friend Leo passes away. Clover was able to be there for Leo, like she wasn't there for her grandfather. Let's look at some important quotes from this scene. "Clover, I want to tell you something." I squeezed his hand. "Of course." For once, the constant noise of the city quieted. Reverent silence enveloped the apartment as I waited for Leo to form his words. "I've watched you spend a lifetime trying to help people to have a beautiful death. The thing you couldn't give your grandpa." Even now, his brown eyes managed to spark. "But the secret to a beautiful death is to live a beautiful life, putting your heart out there, letting it get broken, taking chances, making mistakes." Leo's breaths were becoming too labored for him to speak. "Promise me, kid," he whispered, "that you'll let yourself live." His grip loosened. He managed one last grin. "I love you, Clover." "I love you too, Leo." What began as a trickle down my cheek soon became a deluge. And for the first time since I was a child, I let the tears fall freely. I believe that this is the climax of the novel because it's at that moment that Clover decides to come out of her shell. It's as if being there for Leo was her substituting that experience that she missed with her grandfather. She was able to be there for the person that she loved the most, and his death made her realize there was much to live for. You could also argue that Clover's last conversation with Claudia was a catalyst for Clover to live her life again. But I think that Leo's passing was more impactful for Clover. In the resolution of the story, Clover makes up with Sylvie, starts a new relationship with Hugo, and decides to travel the world and reignite her passion about death in other cultures through a new lens of photography. I thought that this ending was perfect for Clover. She doesn't jump into a relationship with Hugo, which I feel wouldn't have been authentic to her character. This book isn't about romance. It's a celebration of life. It's also a perfect resolution to the conflict. Clover decides to live her life for herself. As I said, the plot of this book is very straightforward, but it gives us the opportunity to really get to know our characters and explore the themes of the novel. So let's move to characterization. Here's a quote. "That's the thing about loneliness. No one ever chooses it." End quote. Clover's journey in the novel is beautiful. She goes from being unable to open up to anyone to truly living her life. Clover is such a believable character. Many introverts are not well written or are side characters in the story. However, Clover has so much depth, and Brammer has done a great job at giving Clover realistic past trauma to work through. I too would have a hard time making friends if I had been through the things she had been through. It'd be difficult to have the resilience or skills to make these friends. Clover has let the trauma in her life run her life. Since losing her grandfather, Clover had just been going through the motions and not really living. Yes, she's honoring the people she helped pass by learning from their regrets or taking their advice. But none of that had really gotten her out of her comfort zone. I feel like this is what happens to many of us. We find the path that is comfortable, and we do not want to go out of that path. This is normal, especially after losing someone so close to you. However, after these experiences, Clover says, "Observing the world rather than engaging with it meant I didn't have to invest emotionally. If I never got close to anyone, they couldn't leave me, or it wouldn't hurt if they did. Better to be alone by choice. That was one thing I always had control over." But now I realized I wasn't fooling anyone. The truth was, I wasn't trying my best. I was only living a shell of the life I knew was possible. And I regretted it. End quote. Thankfully, losing Leo and Claudia, gaining new friends like Hugo and Sylvie, helped Clover to see that there can be more than the life she is living. I wish we were able to see more of her life after her breakthrough, but I do think that the resolution of this novel was a great ending. A lot of what we learn about Clover comes from her own thoughts. Because this novel was told in first-person perspective, we get to see and understand the world through Clover's eyes. Sylvie almost seems too good to be true. She takes Clover in as a friend, even though Clover is awkward and a bit naive. I'm not sure if I liked the awkward fallout between Clover and Sylvie. When Clover spies on Sylvie and the lady that lives in the apartment across from her, this was a strange subplot, but losing Sylvie and Clover getting her back did show Clover's growth. I hope that we all find a friend like Sylvie. Claudia was my favorite character in this book. I loved how she was clever yet unopposing. She knew how to read people and understood what made them them. This is probably because she was an artist, but it also shows that she was a caring mother and grandmother. Claudia's love story with Hugo was tragic, but also practical. If I were a woman during the 50s, I'm sure I would have made a similar decision. Clover gets to learn from Claudia's mistake. I also think that Clover's relationship with Hugo's grandson, Hugo, was a way to make the book go full circle. They always said that they would be together in another life, and it's almost like Clover and Hugo Jr. are that other life. Sebastian is kind of a sad character. Meeting Clover changed him, but not in a meaningful way. He seems to be making the same decisions as when he started this journey with Clover. I think that if Sebastian and Clover would have continued to be friends, that Sebastian could have made changes, but I doubt this would happen in the real world. I do think that Sebastian was an important character for Clover because he helped her to break out of her shell. He kickstarts her journey. Just meeting and learning through people like Claudia was not enough. Clover needed someone like Sebastian. There were a few other characters in the novel that were just lovely. Clover's grandfather, Hugo, Hugo Jr., and Leo. I love that this book had so many good male characters. As I've said many times, I'm tired of reading about men who take advantage of their situation and are just bad people. It seems to be a theme in many books written by modern women. It's always a pleasure to read a book with inspirational male characters. The main idea of this book is death. However, this book covers this theme in a compelling manner. Instead of focusing solely on the negative aspects of death and the fear surrounding what comes next, this book focuses on living life to its fullest. Clover is someone who lived her life surrounded by death. In the opening scenes of this novel, Clover tells us about the first death she witnessed in kindergarten, and then, not too long after that, Clover's parents die. From that moment on, Clover is obsessed with the concept of death, so much so that she has a difficult time finding other connections. She also chooses to study different rituals of passing in different cultures. Now let's think about each of these matches as a human life. In theory, each of these matches should burn for the exact same amount of time, right? But sometimes you strike a match and it goes out almost immediately. Other times it stops burning halfway. So even though they're technically the same, each match is very unique. Sometimes it's not as strong structurally for reasons we cannot see just by looking at it. Well, my dear, just as we don't know how long each match will last until we light it, we never know how long a life will last until we live it. And often there are factors we have no control over. End quote. I thought this was a fascinating way of describing our lives. We are just matches, and we don't know how long our flames will last. What do you think of this analogy? I would love to hear your thoughts in the comments below. Here are some other quotes that I loved from the novel about this topic. I don't think it's weird at all. Death is a natural part of life. In fact, it's the only thing in life we can really count on. To die, I knew, meant you were never coming back. From that moment on, you only existed in people's memories. In this book, death is treated as a natural part of life that a person should not fear but embrace. You should lead a beautiful life so that you can enjoy a beautiful death. However, it is ironic that after studying death and being around so much death, that the death of her grandfather throws Clover into a multi-year stage of grief. Here is an interesting quote about her thoughts on grief. I've never understood Western society's warped perception of grief as something quantifiable and finite. A problem to be fixed. 8 months after Grandpa died, my doctor suggested I see a psychiatrist because I was still having trouble accepting he was gone. After only one session, the psychiatrist promptly diagnosed me with persistent complex bereavement disorder, aka chronic grief, and suggested I take antidepressants. Turns out, in the opinion of most medical experts, your grieving process shouldn't last longer than 6 months. And if you aren't over it by then, there's something clinically wrong with you. But I do not think that Clover let herself really grieve for her grandfather. She wanted to keep him alive for as long as possible. She kept all of his things as such. She didn't cry. She didn't try to move on or do new things you would want to share with someone you love. She doesn't truly mourn her grandfather's death until she learns more about him. I love that we learn more about his relationship with the bookstore owner, Bessie. Once she is able to see her grandfather as a person instead of just a figure that she had placed on a pedestal, it helps to start her mourning process. Also, in losing Leo, she's able to be there for a person she loved in their last moments. As I mentioned earlier, this seems to free her and truly let her grieve not only Leo, but her grandfather and all the years she had lost not living her life. One last thought about grief before we move on to the next topic. I love that her and the younger Hugo have similar thoughts on the process of grieving. He says this: "My mom died when I was in college, ovarian cancer," he said. "And I remember getting so angry about people trying to comfort me. They say things like, 'She's in a better place now,' or 'At least you had the time you did together,' or 'She wouldn't want you to be sad.' And I just wanted to scream at them. It was like they wanted me to get over my grief so they didn't have to deal with it." End quote. This vulnerability helps Clover to open up to him as well. Their shared experience helped them to overcome their grief, which is an important part of why we let people in. Which leads me to my last topic, love. Clover is obsessed with rom-coms. She watches them and she knows them by heart. In fact, it was one of the only things that she and Sebastian connected over. What is truly creepy, though, is the way that she puts her own thoughts and feelings on the couple that lives across the way. She gets embroiled by their relationship, and she puts her own thoughts and feelings on what is going on in their life. This is not a healthy habit, and she knows it, but she cannot help herself. Romance addiction is a serious problem that can hinder people's relationships. However, it doesn't seem like Clover suffers from this because she has so many great examples of true love in her life. Here's a quote that shows this. "What is it like to feel a love so strong that it still lingered with you more than 60 years later?" Leo and his wife were a great example of love. I love how Leo talked about his late wife and their relationship. However, I believe that this quote is about Claudia and Hugo. From Claudio and Hugo, we learn that there are different types of love. There was the relationships that both of them had after meeting each other, but there were also the enduring and overpowering love that they had. Who knows if they would have been happy in the long run? But that kind of love is magical to read about. Another quote that Clover says about love is this. As far as I can tell, I love you is one of the hardest words in the English language, not for its pronunciation, but for the weight it carried, end quote. Clover didn't have the best relationship with her parents as it is, and then to have them pass in such a tragic way must have made Clover closed off. So much so that her peers thought she was strange, and she grew up isolated from anyone her own age. She tried to have friends in the past, but everyone thought her obsession with death was strange, or her awkwardness was difficult to deal with. So Clover closes herself off to all emotions. She talks about this a few times at the beginning of the book, that she's able to distance herself from the emotions that she has, and that is the only way she deals with being a death doula. This is why her crying when Leo passes is so important, because she hadn't let herself have emotions. It's very difficult to let yourself love and be loved when you will not let yourself have emotions. However, Clover eventually sees the value of love with Sylvie and Hugo. Sylvie shows her the value of friendship and having someone to confide in, and Hugo shows her that even she is capable of romantic love. Overall, I rated this book 5 out of 5 stars. For a debut novel, this book was beautiful and insightful. Brammer is a writer professionally, so it's no surprise the writing is clear and well thought out. But the topic she covers and the way she covers them is inspiring. Death is a difficult topic to cover, but I feel like this book covers death in a way that celebrates life instead of focusing on the anxiety and fear that surrounds death. This would be a perfect book to read for book club. Thank you for listening to this episode of According to Your English Teacher. I hope that you enjoyed talking about this book. If you liked this episode, make sure to give this video some attention by giving it a like or leaving a comment or review and sharing this podcast with your friends. Also, if you want to keep up with the podcast schedule or with what I'm currently reading, feel free to follow me on TikTok or Instagram by following the links on the homepage or in the comments. Before I end, I'm excited to announce that next month we will be doing something special. May is Mental Health Month, and we will be covering the works of Sarah J. Maas, Brandon Sanderson, and Abby Jimenez. We will look at how each of these authors deal with mental health issues and their collective works and discuss some of my favorite characters. I'm so excited to try something different with these episodes. I'm hoping you will join me as we go through them. I would like to end with one final quote from the novel. And instead of constantly asking ourselves the questions of why we are here, maybe we should simply savor the truth. We are here. Thank you for listening to this episode of According to Your English Teacher. This episode was written by me, Sam Gunther, and edited by Dallin Gunther. The music was done by Tom Brinton. Thanks for listening and happy reading.